Welcome to Christian Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. I am Pastor Tom Washington, and it is a blessing to be given the opportunity to share the word of truth with you. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website, 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved unto God, Yahweh, a workman needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom. Make sure that some things are planted before you leave here. Believe that we need some direction for the week that is to come, right? Tomorrow, we're going to have some situations. Who has situations? Okay. Who got issues? We all do, right? There are situations at home. There's situations on the job, right? Situations in the neighborhood. And so we want to use the power of Yahweh that is at our disposal to be able to navigate those things. So we've been talking about faith for destiny. Say that, faith for destiny. And there are certain things that we've been dealing with. You need faith in this life. People want to say, well, why are you preaching on faith all the time? Because without it, it's impossible to please Yahweh. And everything is connected to it. I can't love you right if I don't believe that it's the right thing to do. I got to love you by faith. Right? I got to believe that the things that he tells me in the word are true, so I have to believe that by faith. Or, as we say, in faith, right? Faith is that vehicle. So you don't have to turn to these things, but I'm just going to give you a brief overview of what we discussed before. We were in James, and if you're a Hebrew scholar, it's Yaakov, and it was the second chapter, the 14th verse, which tells us, what is the profit, my brethren, though a man say he has faith, but if you've been here before, we inserted an explanation to the word works. And so if you remember what our explanation was for the word works in the translation. Works is what?
Corresponding action.
Works is what?
Corresponding action.
Corresponding actions. Ergon, the Greek word. So that means that it's not just you're just doing something to do it, but there is an intentional thing that you are doing in faith, believing. So ergon is a deed, action that carries out or completes an intentional purpose. Those are your corresponding actions. So if I say I have faith, I'm believing Yahweh for something, my actions should show it. What actions? The stuff that comes out of my mouth, my attitude, my posture, the things that I do. So if we go back to James, it tells us, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he has faith and has not? So if I say I got faith, you're supposed to see it in my what? Corresponding actions. That means that my faith is connected to what I do, what I say, what I believe, what I think, what I feel. I'm feeling faith. I'm believing faith. Right? And a lot of times people say, well, I feel, but it's something negative. But feel faith. Right? And so when we talk about corresponding actions, this is what you're doing. You're putting feet on your faith. Come on. You're putting what? Feet on your faith. What does that mean? My faith is walking. It's talking. It's doing stuff. And so that was what we dealt with. And then we skipped to the 17th verse, and we simply said, even so, faith, if it does not have, it's dead, right? And why is that? Because the scripture tells us in the 19th verse, you say it's good enough to people. It's good enough that I believe. without corresponding actions. But guess what? This says, thou believest that there is one God, but and that's true. You dose well. But the devil's what? So just believing don't make you special because the devils know how to believe. That there's one God. But you have to show, not only do you believe, you got to put some feet on this thing. You got to walk this thing out, right? You got to do more than just say, and a lot of people say, well, I'm believing God. Well, you can sit there and believe God for 40 years and nothing happens to you. But what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to put your faith in action. Remember the woman with the issue of blood? She got healed, right? We know the end result was she got healed, right? But it started in her house, right? Because she had heard that Yeshua from the Torah was what? There was going to be a Savior that was going to come with healing in his wings. And I say this all the time, but I got to say it again because it's so powerful. They wore a prayer robe called a what? Talit. And the sleeves were called the tzitzit, right? But the tzitzit meant, so when you opened it up, the prayer robe, the sleeve fell down this way, right? And so that part was called the wing. And translate it. So she said the Savior would come with healing in his what? Wing, his tzitzit. And so they said, Scripture says, well, touch the hem. That's what the hem was. The hem wasn't way down here. The hem was up here. She said, if I could just touch his tzitzit, the wing, because he said he was going to come with healing in his wing. And she believed that. And she found out that he was coming to her town. Right? But she was not supposed to go outside the house because she had an issue of blood. Because if she had gone outside the house in her condition, they would have stoned her because she was sick. Right? So she could have stayed inside. Well, I'm believing God. No. What did that woman have to do? She had to put feet on her faith. She had to get up, get out to where he was. Get out of her house, walk all the way to where he was, and get the healing that she believed resided in his wing. And when she touched that wing in faith, she was healed. Immediately. Why is that? Because she believed. And she went for her. She went for hers. And I'm telling you, faith is about you going for yours. Whatever it is that you believe in Yahweh for, you better go for it. That's what I had to do. I can't sit up there and believe. I believe I'm getting healed. No, I had to get up out of that bed. Well, I'm going to say lay in the bed all day. Mr. Washington, you have to get up out of the bed and walk. The body didn't feel like walking. But the spirit, the flesh, the word tells us the spirit is what? Willing. But the flesh is what? I had to overcome my flesh. I had to get up out of that bed and walk. And believe that, hey, if I keep on walking, I'm going to walk right up out of this hospital in the name of Yeshua. That's exactly what happened. So it's not just enough for me to believe because demons believe. So if you think believing is enough, you ain't no better than a devil, a demon, right? So you're supposed to be more powerful than that. So this is what we say. So 20th verse tells us that, what? So I want you to know, wilt thou know, oh, vain man. Because why would he say vain man? Because we got people to say, it don't take all that. They're so full of themselves that the Holy Ghost don't have no room. That's the problem. When people are full of themselves and their own ego, what they want to do, there is no room for the Holy Spirit to work because you think you know it all. So, oh, vain man. And a lot of people walk around and say, well, I'm doing just enough. I don't have to go all. Yeah, you do. You better go all the way and then some. You better go for yours. And so this is what he's saying. So vain man, you think you know it all, but I'm telling you right now, your faith without what? Corresponding actions is what? It's dead. Dead means it don't mean nothing, and it's not going to act. It's not going to work for you. Say it's not going to work for me. All right. So then after we did that, we talked about things that hinder our faith. And we needed to understand that our faith is directly connected to righteousness, right? And what is righteousness? Righteousness is, we found out, is our right standing. When we are living righteous, that means we got a good relationship with the God that we serve, right? We are walking with him. We're talking with him. We're not ashamed, right? Because listen, and we talked about this before. If you want something from somebody, you're not going to ask somebody that you don't have a good relationship with. Right? Well, go ask so-and-so, and you ain't talked to so-and-so in years, and you and so-and-so got beef because y'all ain't talking, and then you're going to go up to so-and-so and ask them for something? It's not going to work. But our relationship with Yahweh is like that, where a lot of times we're not on good terms with each other. And it's not him, because he's a perfect God. It's us. We the ones that got issues. When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? They ran and hid. Right? As if they were going to hide from the Most High God. It's not possible. So, therefore, our relationship with Yahweh allows us to be able to believe that whatever that we need, we can ask him without any reservation. And that's what your faith is about. And so when we looked at here, Psalm 34th chapter, and again, I'm just throwing it up here, the eyes of Yahweh are on who? Those that have right standing. Right? Listen, I talk to Yahweh every day. Him and I are not estranged. What does estranged mean? Don't act like y'all don't know, because you got some estranged relationships right now. Yeah. You ain't talking. I even know husbands and wives that don't talk. They living in the same house. One live on one side, the other live on the other side. Ain't no communication. They are estranged. Though they live in the same residence, they have no relationship. Right, is that? Because they're not in right standing with each other. Right, they're not on good terms. They're not in unity. So I talk to him every day. I don't just be talking to him when I want something. I be like, Yahweh, you a good guy. What you want? I don't want nothing right now. I'm just saying you a good guy. You're just good. I'm just gonna pour out my praise on you. I ain't gonna ask you for nothing. I'm not buttering you up. I just want to praise you because you're the only God to be worshiped and praised and adored. And I keep that line of communication what? Open. Like, you know? And I don't wait until Sunday to communicate with him. I don't wait till Wednesday Bible study or Monday night prayer. There should be a constant prayer. And you don't always have to be in a specific place when you pray. I pray in my car every morning. Instead of turning on the news, I'm turning on my connection to Yahweh. I'm like, okay, Yahweh, I need you to prepare to wear, because these folks is crazy up at this place. I need you to, like, you meet me at the job. And you create the atmosphere. You know, I'm just saying, you know, we work in the world. Hello? We work with Philistines. And the Bible talks about creatures. We work with all kinds of situations, so we need that intervention. So, therefore, if I'm righteous and I'm in good standing with him, I'm not hiding from him. You know, and there's things that create that situation. Sin, doubt, shame, all that stuff, condemnation. But when we good with each other, I know his eyes are upon me because I'm righteous. The scripture tells us his eyes are on the righteous. He's looking. And his ears are what? Open to whose cry? There. Who's there? The righteous. The ones that are in what? Right standing. That are living right, that are making an attempt. Now listen, we ain't perfect. The word perfect in Hebrew means
mature. But we are making efforts to grow up. It ain't cute for a 10-year-old to be still sucking on a bottle. Or in my daughter's case, it was a pacifier. And that pacifier was everything. And we had, we were laughing about it the other day. She had to have a pacifier. And we were at Broadway, and it was a elevation service when we're going into the new year. And she had got to the point where she had teeth. And what she was doing is she was biting the tip off the pacifier. And once she bit the tip off of it, she didn't want it no more. So we have to keep on buying pacifiers. So I told Stephanie, I said, I'm getting a six-pack because they have a six-pack of pacifiers. And when all of those are gone, it's over. She ain't sucking on no more pacifiers. And it was that night, we were at the watch service, and she was on her sixth pacifier. And we told her, she was like, this is the last one. And if you bite this one off, ain't no more. And right when we was like, Happy New Year! She bit the tip off of that. And she fell out. Ah! Remember that? Joanne didn't remember. And she was like, ah, what's wrong with her? She's on her last pacifier. No more. After that, it was no more. She just built a bridge and got over it. But what I'm trying to tell you is that when we're supposed to be at an age when we're supposed to be mature, we ain't got no business doing baby stuff. We're supposed to be believers that have been growing up and have an intentional will to grow up and not just stay, what? Babies. He's expecting us to walk this way. He's expecting us to talk a certain way. So you got saints that's been saved for 20 years, but they ain't growing because they're not putting feet on their faith. And so this is what we have to understand. And so then we were talking about, and we went to Genesis, the third chapter. Let me make it quick. And we were talking about Enoch, how, you know, he actually had a relationship with Gabbah. So much so that he didn't have to die a regular death. Yahweh just took him. He was so close to Yahweh, walked so closely with Yahweh, that Yahweh just walked him right out of the earth up into the heavens. It says Enoch walked with Yahweh, and he was not, for Yahweh what? Took him. Why? Because he just wanted to be in step with Yahweh. So that's what we should desire, that every day there is an acknowledgement of that there's some body who is greater than what we think or feel and all that. It's Yahweh. And so then we went to Hebrews. And we talked about, it was the confirmation of Enoch. And so it said, what was the vehicle where Enoch had this relationship? Faith. In faith, Enoch was what? Translated that he should not see death. It didn't say in anything else, in love. Didn't say that. It said in what? In faith. That was the vehicle that caused him to have the relationship. And he was not found because Yahweh had translated him, right? For before his translation, he had this testimony. And everybody's looking for some kind of silver bullet. You know, they want their feelings titillated and excited. It's not, stop. You're not going to get that all the time. You think that every time that you feel the spirit, it's supposed to be a goose pimple that pops up. Our sister would say, it's not the spirit because I don't feel a Holy Ghost goose pimple. Well, what's a Holy Ghost goose pimple? It's just this thing that travels up my back. That's feelings. That's bogus. Because you in your feeling. You know, all you got to do is shimmy enough, you feel something go up your back. So it's about faith. Faith is not about feelings. Because you're not going to have it all the time. Some say you just got to step out on nothing. Zero. Believing that in the spirit, he's going to meet you right there up under that step. And he does it every time. Right? So this is what we have to do. His testimony is that he what? Pleased Yahweh. How did he please Yahweh? Well, I read in scripture, somebody say, without faith is what? So I can't please him if I ain't got no faith. And if I'm not righteous, I can't please him because he don't want sin in his sight. So that's what people say. He's merciful. And he says, should you sin that grace abound? God forbid. So we're trying out this thing. We believe in this thing. And so this is where we kind of left off on Sunday, where what the enemy wants to do is he wants to blind us spiritually. He does not. Faith is about seeing into the invisible. Faith is about seeing into the spirit realm, right? I don't want to be controlled about what I see in the natural. Because if I'm controlled about what I see in the natural, there's no hope in that. Why? Because the doctors told me you have stage 4 colon cancer. Now, if I just dwelt in that, I would have been just planning my own funeral. But I had to believe beyond the natural, and I had to use my spiritual eyes and say, I see myself healed. I see myself with no tumor. I see myself with no cancer. And guess what? He performed it. He manifested it. He took that thing right out. But if I did not see that in the spirit, then I would not have moved towards it. So the doctors were sounding like Charlie Brown's teacher. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, you want me to build my life on your report. But my report is of Yahweh. And his report says that in his stripes, I'm healed. So that's the report I'm going to believe. And doctors just like, you need that positive attitude. I said, I'm going to show you something. And after the same doctor that closed me up said he couldn't do nothing, that second operation, he said, what happened? It's all gone. I don't know. It's not there anymore. The same one. That's faith. That's faith, right? So I am an authority on faith. I'm telling you right now because I walked that thing out. And I'm trying to encourage you to walk that thing out for yourself. I'm not special. I just believe. I don't make me, I'm not special. I just believe them. So if you believe them, you're going to have the same result. Right? Because he's not a respecter of person. He gave us all. He says, I have given you the measure. The measure means we all get the same amount. But say, don't hate on me because I grow my faith and you still keep your little bit. I'm going to grow it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to believe him. So when my nose start running, I'm laying hands on the nose in the name of Yeshua. You need to dry up. But that's the difference between me and maybe somebody else doesn't believe. Because your nose start running, you run for the Dexatrim or whatever that thing is. What do people take for? Claritin or whatever. Huh? You believe that your redemption and your healing is in the Claritin. That just deals with the symptoms. See, if you believe Yahweh, he'll take it all the way down to the root of the thing. He'll remove the root of it. Not just the symptoms. Because I've read that when you take some of this stuff, say I'm taking something for an ailment. Just something simple. Give me something simple. No, an over-the-counter. Huh? No. I mean, I don't want to say over-the-counter.
Prescription. A prescription. You got to get prescription for something. Yeah, okay. Somebody gave me a blood pressure, whatever that would be. And so it says, yes. Oh, thank you, mother. So you give, so I take that prescription, and the commercial will say, hey, you know, you will take this for your blood pressure. Hey. But you may faint and have blackouts, and then you also may have blurred vision, kidney failure, and all. And I'm like, doggone. Well, I just want to lower the blood pressure, and I'm going to get 20 side effects where I might as well. And yeah. And then I'm trying to get my blood pressure together, but then the side effect is thoughts of suicide. If you have thoughts of suicide, then see your doctor immediately. When I can just believe Yahweh for the root of the thing, and sometimes it's simple, start eating right. Stop taking so much sodium and salt in. But, you know, we want a pill. We want to pop, we pill pop, and we want immediate. We don't want to believe Yahweh. We just want to pop pills. He was trying to, they were like, you're not taking your pills? I said, no. But listen, that's me. It was according to my faith. Because he was trying to give me all these pain pills and stuff. I was like, I ain't feeling no pain. Well, you sure? You know, I give you a prescription. I was like, dude, I'm not going to get hooked on that stuff. If I ain't got no pain, what am I popping pain pills for? What you giving me an opioid for? That's what it was. Now, I will say, when I was in the hospital, I told y'all that, what was that? Morphine. That morphine was a bad motor scooter. I don't want to get hooked on that, though. So I got to believe Yahweh for whatever it is. So I want to please him. So go here with me. Let's go here, and we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. And it's the fourth chapter. And so how is it possible for the enemy to take away my spiritual sight so that I can't see the thing on the other side that I'm believing Yahweh for? And it's simple. Listen. I'm talking about my testimony, but I could use faith for anything, for a job, for a house, for my credit, whatever it is. You know, I'm believing Yahweh for whatever that is. Your faith is connected to whatever that thing is, right? So it's fourth verse, it says, in whom the God, little g, of this world, right? And who is that? That's Satan, Hasatan, the fowler, the enemy. Right? He's blinded the minds of them. How does he do it? The minds of them that what? Believe not. Well, I don't know if he's going to do it. Well, what you have done is you have given him a door to step right in and blind you. You gave him a place. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Yeshua, Mashiach, who is the image of Yahweh should what? Shine upon them. So I believe Yahweh is able to do whatever. If I can believe Yahweh for my very mortality, I can believe him for anything. Come on. Come on. Come on. That's where it starts. But I got to build up to it. I mean, even David, before he hit up Goliath, he had to kill a bear, and then he killed a lion. And then, because every time he killed one of them things, he got stronger. His faith started to grow. So go to Mark, and this is where we left off. And I'm not going to keep you long, but I just want to kind of get into it. Mark, the 10th chapter. So I was telling the saints last week, Yahweh wants a violent faith. What does that mean? You going to go for it. See, some of y'all are too polite to the devil. Devil, will you please stop? Please, devil. No, he took your stuff.
He's messing with your stuff. He's messing with your family. He's messing with your kids. He's messing with your wife or spouse, husband. And if that don't excite you, he's messing with your money. Oh, now, you know, you get a response. He's messing with your stuff. So you got to be, if Yahweh told you in his word that this dude was under your feet, why are you talking polite to him? Tell him, you are under my feet in the name of Yeshua. Get out of my finances. Get out of my kids' life. Get out of my relationship. Get out of my marriage. Get out of my supervisor. I mean, you got to be, want this thing. And so we met a man who wanted something real badly. And he said, when we heard that it was Yeshua, and he heard that it was Yeshua. Let me say this. When he heard it was Yeshua, his faith. You know, there's just something about that name. When that name is invoked, my faith gets excited. Because I know that there's power in that name. And if I know that, if I believe that there's power in that name, my faith is just increasing. Because I know if I just invoke his name, something's going to happen. Things change. Come on, Sky, you better stop now. Things change when you call Yeshua. Wait, not only that, demons flee when you call on his name. You better believe that part. Tell your neighbor that part. Yeah. Because they know when Yeshua was coming. Wait. Remember when the demons were in that dude, that man, and Yeshua came and the demon said, oh, have you come to torment us before our time? It was just his presence. The demons was scared just at the presence of Yeshua. And you got to believe that when you say the name of Yeshua, it's just like Yeshua is standing right by your side in person. Come on. He's right there. Right there in person. That's what I believe. I wasn't in that hospital by myself. Yeshua was right there by me. It's going to be all right. Be all right. So this guy, he said, Yeshua was coming. So he knew Yeshua, but he was like, whoa, something's happening in him. And he began to cry out and say, Yeshua, son of David, have mercy on me. And 48 verse says what? And they charged him. The people that were around him said, hold your peace. What were they saying? They were saying, shut up, dude. Stop crying. You're too loud. So hey, wait, hold up. Sometimes that happens here. Somebody prays it. They're too loud. I want to move my seat. They don't know what we know. They don't know that I got to holler sometimes. They don't understand. Sometimes I don't have to holler all the time, but sometimes something just moves in me. It's like fire in my bone. I got to shout it out. And you want me to be shamed? You're like, be quiet. You're too loud. Your praise is too loud. Don't let nobody shut down your praise. He's been too good. So this guy was a man after my own heart because he cried. When they told him to shut up, he got louder. Son of David, have mercy on me. And then 49 says, Yeshua stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he healeth thee. 50 verse says what? And he casting away his garment, rose, and he came to Yeshua. And Yeshua answered and said unto him, what you want? Come on, we serve a God. He know what you want. But he wants you to what? Say it. He wants it to come out of your mouth that you believe it. Whatever it is. He's like, what what you want? Well, he didn't know what they want. Shut up. Whoever that person of doubt said that Yeshua didn't know what this man wanted, he knew what this man wanted. But he wanted him to what? That we live in a voice-activated system. Because when he created the heavens and earth, the word says, Yahweh said, not Yahweh thought, no, Yahweh said, let there was light. And guess what happened? Oh, this is what y'all don't understand. So I'm a science dude, right? I love science. Well, this is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo missions. So I've been watching, like, the Science Channel, right? And they have stuff about the universe. And it just boggles my mind because the science is basically confirming what Yahweh does. And so I was watching one episode and they were like, the universe is expanding at the speed of light. And they don't understand it. It's still expanding. Well, when he said, let there be light, he never stopped it. Come on. So therefore, what that word is still unfurling and expanding in the universe. Even the universe knows what's going on. The universe said, well, he ain't said stop yet, so let's keep on expanding. And guess what? We're expanding at the speed of light. And when he said, let there be light, that's what he meant. Let there be light. Boom. Open up. So he said, what you want? Blind man said unto him, I just want to see. I want my sight. 52 says what? And Yeshua said, go thy way. Thy faith has what? Made you whole. And what? Immediately he received his sight. And guess what he did? He followed Yeshua. Where? In the way. He stayed in the way. Right? Because he believed. So from there we go here. Let's go to 1 Samuel. And if you are a Hebrew scholar, Shmuel. And the guy that we just saw, the blind man, he took it by force. I mean, why you say he took it by force? Because he was hollering. He was demanding. Yeshua, I believe in you. And can't nobody restore my sight but you. Be quiet, yo. No, be quiet. Nah. He here right now. I want to see right now. Therefore, I'm going to ask him right now, and I believe that he's going to restore my sight right now. He don't want you to stay blind. He wants him to see now. So, you got to get, I like the word indignant. Undignified, indignant, whatever you want to say. I like this word too. You got to be bodacious. Maybe y'all will understand that. There used to be this place in Carson called Bodacious Barbecue. I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, I digress. You got to be, what does that mean? You got to say this thing like you want this thing. Get mad about it. Be, I want it right now. It's an immediate need. Now, and it's okay, because how did Yeshua respond to him when dude was hollering at him? He was like, this is faith right here. What you want? What you want? I want to see. Go on. You got it. And I'm going to tell you why you got it. Because your faith made you whole. It was your faith that you demonstrated. You was not going to let anything stop you. So then we have David now. David had the faith to believe that he could beat the Philistine. But guess what? He didn't go up to that Philistine. Now, I'm going to take you out. You better watch out for me. Because I got God on my side.
He went up to some giant and he said, this day
Yahweh is going to deliver you into my hand. That's what he told the giant. Wait, he didn't stop there. And he said, not only that, I'm going to smite you. I'm going to hit you. And after I hit you and take you out, I'm going to take your head from you. That's some, boy, that's some big talk. But that he was talking to the enemy. So he wasn't polite. Well, I don't see nowhere in scripture where y'all would tell us that we need to be polite to the devil. No, if he's under our feet, that means he's under our feet. Not only did he say that, he was like, I'm going to take your head from you, and I'm going to give your carcass the rest of your body. I'm taking the head, and I'm going to take the rest of your body of the Philistines this day, and I'm going to give it to the birds. I'm going to feed your body to the birds and to the wild beasts of the earth. Why am I doing all that? I'm going to make an open show of you, dude. Because if I do that, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So that's how you got to be about your stuff. I'm going to take your head off. You mess with my family, I'm going to take your head off. And see, you're going to go in the pit of fire at the end of days, but right now, you mine. I'm casting you down. I render your power inoperative in the name of Yeshua. You better get behind me. And not only will you get behind me, I will get behind you and I'll kick you into the pit.
Why?
And this assembly, this assembly will know that Yahweh save not with the sword and spear, but the battle is Yahweh, and he will give you into our hands. That's the God that we serve. Tell your neighbor, that's violent. That's violent. That's violent. But see, I need to have that kind of faith. If this is a voice activated system, and I gotta speak this stuff, right? Then let's confess a couple of things. Is that okay with you? So bring that up, Cheryl. I am not afraid. I'm not afraid. He has not given you the spirit of fear, but give you power, love, and sound mind. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if I leave that, guess what? I ain't afraid. So what? Some of y'all got Goliaths. I had a Goliath, and I had to chop that thing down. You will come out of my body in the name of Yeshua. He will perform surgery, and he will cut you out. I ain't afraid of you, devil. In my case, I ain't afraid of you, cancer. You trying to present yourself like you can do something to me. In the name of Yeshua, you ain't got no power. You're going to dry up in the name of Yeshua. Why? Because I'm not afraid. I ain't afraid of you. And sometimes people hear that C word and they, oh my God, the doctor said. Bump the doctor. My God said, I'm healed.
I got right standing. So guess what? Say, I'm not ashamed. Not ashamed. And some of y'all, you're too timid. I ain't ashamed. I know I'm in the right standing. And I know I'm calling on the right name. I ain't ashamed of his name. You with a bunch of Jesus people, they gonna have, I'm praying in the name of Yeshua. You want me to pray? I'm praying in the name of Yeshua. So say this, I am not ashamed. I am not timid. Come, that's what I'm talking about. I ain't timid. I ain't treating you. You want to be polite to the devil, but then you disrespect the God that can really do something for you. I ain't in doubt. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me get my. I said I ain't. I'm sorry. Well, I ain't. I am not in doubt. I have faith. And if needed, the violent take it by faith. Oh, y'all too nice. You were like, if needed, the violent take it by faith. That's sweet. And some ladies would say, okay, that's cute. But if I'm going to get ugly about this thing, if I'm going to get indignant and bodacious about this thing, then I got to say it like I really mean it. So I am not afraid. I am not ashamed. I am not timid. I am not in doubt. I have faith. And if needed, the violent take it by faith. Come on. That's right. I believe that right there. If needed, let's change this part. The violent take it in faith. If needed, the violent take it in faith. Believe that. Come on. That's, you got to hold on to that. So write it, take a picture of it, I don't care. But this right here, this needs to be one of your daily confessions. Because every day, something come up. I ain't going to be afraid of it. I ain't ashamed of it. I'm not timid about it. I am not in doubt about it. I have faith. And if needed, you better watch out for this dude right here, because I will divide and take it in faith. You better grow this thing. I'll leave you with this. Mark, second chapter, fourth verse. Someone else need a healing. Yeshua's in the house. He's literally in a house. It's too many people in the house. The dude that wanted healing could not get in the house where Yeshua was because, you know, there's too many people. Now, some people would have been like, oh, well, there's too many people. It's a sold out crowd. So maybe I'll catch him next time around. I need healing, but they look like they're too busy. They're busy healing other people. So therefore, I'll leave and come back tomorrow. Not only was this person that needed healing indignant, but he was surrounded by some other people that were just as indignant. They were determined. They were determined to what? Get dude in there. So what happened? And when they could not come,
nigh unto Yeshua, because of the press, because of the crowd, they went on the roof. And not only did they go on the roof, they uncovered the roof. Where, and listen, they uncovered the roof right on top of where Yeshua was. And when they had broke up the roof, now picture this. You having an event at your house. And everybody, Yeshua up in your house. And somebody come by and say, I can't get into your house, Steve. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tear the roof off the thing. Anything to get to him, I'm going to tear the roof off. That was somebody that's determined. And he said, after they broke it up, they let dude down the bed wherein the sick of palsy lay. Fifth verse. And let's go back. Go back to the fourth verse. Now, Yeshua, he's seeing somebody. He's doing what he's doing. And then stuff start falling from the roof up above his head. What is going on up there? And then, after all the debris fall down, then a bed come down. And in the bed is somebody with palsy that need a healing. What was he thinking? I know what he was saying. That right there, that's some violent faith right there. That's some faith right there. And fifth verse. And when Yeshua saw, what did he see? He didn't just see the bed and the man. What did he see? He didn't say, my God, who going to pay for this? You done tore the man's roof off. Nah, he didn't care about that. He was like, that's faith. And he said, son, interesting statement that he made. Your sins are forgiven you. Faith, sins forgiven. Sounds like righteousness to me. Sounds like there's a connection there. And ultimately, beyond the fifth chapter, well, Pastor, you ain't showing to us. Read. It's 129. Read it yourself. But he was healed. But what happened? His healing was connected to his faith. And then it was also connected to his what? Right standing. He came unto Yeshua. Tell your neighbor, we got to get right. We say we. Let's say that. We got to get right. Not, no, this is what we do. I'm here. You got to get right. No. We got to get right. Right? Because he's expecting us to grow this. And none of y'all got a situation where you don't need no faith. Let me tell you that right now. You going to school, you need faith. You going to work, you need faith. You going home, you need some faith. I need some faith to get along. That's what we do. Because don't act like you don't have some stuff that pops up in y'all's relationship. Sometimes you don't want to talk to him. Sometimes she don't want to talk to you. Sometimes you don't want to talk to her. Why is that? Because there's something that needs to be reconciled in our right standing with each other. And then when we get that reconciled and we get back together, there ain't nothing the devil can do to break up our unity. And then I heard also in the word that when you are unified, blessings are commanded. Does anybody need blessings in their household? I need them in my household. I need it for my children. I need it for my wife. So, therefore, I'm going to confess this thing one more time. And if anybody is a believer in this house, you need to stand up with me. I shouldn't be the only one standing. Your posture means a whole lot in the threshold of faith. Now, don't just recite words. I want you to bring this in to your spirit. Bring it in. And once you bring it in, keep it in. This is what we live by. Because we live by the word, and we're not going to let any demon in hell separate us from Yahweh and his word. Because his word is life. And I don't know about you, but I need him every day. So let's do this. I am not afraid.
I am not ashamed.
I am not timid.
I am not in doubt.
I have faith.
And if needed,
the violent take it in faith. Now, in the name of Yeshua. And I praise you for it. Right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No, believe it. Thank him for that thing. Thank him for that thing right now. Hallelujah. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we believe you, we know, Father Yahweh, that your word is true. We stand on every word. So right now, in the mighty name of Yeshua, strengthen us. Our desire are to be those believers that you're looking for. You say you're looking for in these last days that will worship you, serve you, honor you in spirit and in truth, Father. We know your words are true. We don't want anything to separate us from you and your word. There's too many things at stake in our lives. Our family is depending on us. The kingdom is depending on us. You are depending on us. So we want our relationship with you to be first and foremost in our lives. If we seek you first, you said seek ye first the kingdom of Yahweh and your righteousness. And if we do that, you say, and all the other things will be what? Added unto us. So we seek our right standing with you. We seek your kingdom. And we know that all these words that we have embraced and that we have confessed in this voice-activated system, something's got to move. You gonna move. You gonna manifest. You will meet us at our need. You will change the situation. You will turn things around. You will give us favor. Hallelujah. Whatever it is, you manifest. So we thank you for it. We receive it right now. Continue to speak to us about our faith, that we can be just like those that you look at. When you see us, you see faith. You see emunah. You see a faith that is unshakable. It is unmovable. It is rooted and grounded in your word. So we give you praise and honor and thanksgiving. In Yeshua's mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah.